Hi, Dan.
I took a drink of water. I'm sorry. And my voice changed. I'm not Dan. Or maybe I am. I don't know. Hi, co-host Dan. Oh, hey. Yes, it's me, Micah Sargent. Hi, Jason.
Oh, it's my Micah Sargent. I didn't see you there. Yes, the parade of guest podcasts continue as Dan continues on his leave. How are you doing?
I am doing well. I'm feeling good, and I'm doing as many puns as I possibly can while Dan is out. So yeah.
That's good. We got to fill in. Well, again, as I keep saying, those Dan jokes are now actually legitimately just dad jokes.
So it's weird how that works.
It's a party was born to play. You know, you work at Twit, and I just started doing a Twit show every week, Mac Break Weekly.
Yeah.
So now I'm on the inside, sort of. Somebody asked like where my office was at Twit, and I'm like, no, that's not how it works. Like, I'm just a contributor. My office is my office that is here at home. But that's been kind of fun. I'm kind of starting to get into the groove of it. And people were like, oh boy, that's another podcast for you, and that's more work to you. It's like, I don't know, being a guest on someone else's podcast after you've hosted, produced, and edited your own podcast.
Yeah.
It's kind of luxurious, right? Because you host podcasts at Twit, and that's real work. But just showing up and being a talking head on someone else's podcast, I don't know. That's a pretty good gig.
I will say, yes. I was just on the radio yesterday morning on Bill Handel's show, and I show up. He asks some questions, I say a few things, and then I go about my merry way. I don't even have to think about recording or hitting start or anything like that. It's so nice.
Is that the Dan's weekly radio gig? Or is that a different one?
It might be.
So like
usually,
St. Louis or something like that?
Oh, no. This is L.A., yeah. Okay. So Rich DeMuro from KTLA is usually the guy that does it, and he has been out a couple of times over the past 3 or 4 months, and so they've had me step in whenever he's been out.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's been fun, and yeah. like you said, it's very luxurious.
It is. Oh, like they're just like, oh, they're taking care of you. They're doing all the things. There's a document. It tells you what to talk about.
Yes.
there's technical stuff on Twit. I don't even have to record. I don't need to get audio hijack running or anything like that. It just all happens live, and that's it.
When I first guested on one of the shows on Twit, and I had my recording going and everything like that, and afterward I said, where should I send my files? And they looked at me like, what are you talking about?
No, they're very much different. In the Dan Benjamin School of Podcasting, which is, I mean, really given Leo's history from broadcast journalism, right? It's very much like we do the show live, we have an infrastructure to record everybody individually live, and the show that gets podcast is essential. I mean, they will do trims here and there if there's some big issue, like a mistake, but otherwise it's just what was live. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, straight from the cutting board. I don't know what you call it.
From the TriCaster right into your ears, basically, is how that works. Yeah, it's kind of funny. You and I talk about HomeKit stuff a lot.
We do, because you are a bigger HomeKit nerd than I even realized.
Yeah, I am. I have a lot of stuff. The thing I wrote about this week on Six Colors is, okay. Have you noticed that everybody has LED patio lights now?
No, I actually.
Oh man!
No, like the string ones.
The string lights. Every restaurant that built an outdoor space. Everybody in their backyard. Somebody in China came up with this design for these LED string lights, and they are now literally everywhere in the world. My daughter was in Europe, and she was sending in pictures, and I'm like, those are the same lights. Those lights are everywhere. And I think the pandemic, everybody's like, oh, let's prioritize outdoor spaces. And somebody said, I have lights for that. And they made a bazillion of them and sold a bazillion of them.
And now they're richer than Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, probably so. But we put them up in our backyard, which only really had like a spotlight, which is unpleasant to be in. So basically when it got dark, you didn't want to be out there. And so we put these patio lights in, and they're really nice. And not very expensive, and that's why you see them everywhere, is that they're nice and not very expensive. But I wanted to smartify it, right? I wanted to have a remote control. Smart is really not the distinction here. I wanted a remote control. And I bought this cheap RF remote, and it was terrible. Like, you press the button, press the button, press the button, press the button. Oh, finally it did it.
And isn't... there's sometimes some interaction with LEDs in particular that can mess with the RF field too.
Yeah,
so
it's possible that they're interfering with the receiver. So it was like an inline thing that you plug in and then you get this dimmer. So I looked around for a smart one and I found one from Lutron, but it turned out it wasn't a dimmer. It was an outdoor switch, which is great because you need this is outdoors. It needs to be rated for outdoors and survive in theoretically if we ever got any rain in California, that would be a thing. And so I had to send it back. And then I found a smart switch from some weird company called Tuya, I think is the name of the company.
Okay, yeah, Tuya Smart Home, yeah.
Yeah, and they have like 80 different brands and 80 different apps. But it turned, and I signed up for all of them, and it turned out that actually what I had to do was sign up for the Tuya developer login, which got me an API key. Well, so here's the thing, is because they work with their app, and I think they worked with like Google Home or with Alexa, but they didn't work with HomeKit. So I used Homebridge because I have Homebridge, and I used a Homebridge plugin that I found for Tuya, and I got my API key and I put it in and I did get it to work, but it was, you know, Homebridge is kind of, I love it, but sometimes the Homebridge server,
it'll let you down sometimes.
It loses connection, and then every device that's on Homebridge just disappears until you reboot the computer or restart Homebridge or whatever it is. And so over the last year, I've been like, there's got to be, why does nobody make a HomeKit compatible thing?
Outdoor switch.
And they finally did. So I found it and I posted about it mostly just to say, hello, everybody. Do you know that this product exists? Because I have looked and looked and looked and didn't know this product exists. And it's from Miros and it's the outdoor dimmer plug. And I linked to it in my piece. But what's funny is I found it because James Thompson sent me a link to their smart power strips that they make.
Yes.
Where they have the individually switchable plugs on the power strip, which is super clever. And I don't actually need that, although I love it because it's super clever. But they also make this dimmer that's an outdoor dimmer. So I finally just have a HomeKit thing out there now, and it just works with HomeKit. And it was super easy to set up. Oh, and great. But
that's exciting because I've had some Miros things in the past, and I've when people would ask me for my recommendation for an outdoor switch, I would always go the iDevices route because it was the only one that I had found that actually held to its promises on actually being weather resistant. But I didn't realize that there was an outdoor dimmer. I'm glad you were able to come across one that actually could do the dimming.
Yeah, that was the trick, because the outdoor switches, they're out there, but the dimmer thing, and with those lights, you want to be able to take them up to full brightness or have them, like I have an automation, just a home automation that turns them on at sunset and turns them off at like 11:30 at night, and they're at like 20% for that. And that's just sort of like, it means that there isn't a black void outside my living room doors when the sun sets. Instead, our nice little patio's out there, and it's great. I really like it. And I have a little smart, I think it's the Philips Hue remote switch thing.
Yeah.
And so
the one that has the four buttons on it?
Yeah. So I stuck on the wall. I was using it somewhere else and then it sort of fell into disuse. And so now I've got that on the wall by the doors in our living room that lead out to the patio. And so you can control it. And I just map the buttons to like all on, all off, and then sort of two interim brightnesses. And that means that regular people can just press the buttons and it works. And
I went to this Apple engineer's house. It was a house that for the most part, he just, what's the word? It's the thing where people can rent the property for a weekend. It's an app and an online service, and I can't think
Airbnb,
of the name of it.
Verbo?
Airbnb, okay, that's it, sure. Airbnb. So he Airbnbs it most of the time, and his whole house was set up with HomeKit, and all of the light switches on the walls were those Hue dimmer switches, those four-button Hue ones. And so I, you know, being a nerd, knew what they were and was talking to him about, you know, why he chose to set it up that way and everything. And he said what I've said in the past, which is that the Philips Hue bridge paired with those Philips Hue remotes has provided the most consistent experience. So he doesn't get support calls whenever Airbnbers stay at his place, which is nice.
Yeah. What I've learned in doing smart home stuff is that the number one thing to do is have physical switches that work. Because it's great that software can control your stuff, But if only software controls your stuff, you're going to make... I mean, I'm unhappy with that myself, and everyone else in my house is unhappy with that, right? Mm-hmm. Because they don't have the luck or whatever it might be to be as deep down into the tech side of it as I am. And so having a button you press, like a light switch, that's why I like the Lutron Casita switches so much, is that they are wired switches that are smart themselves. So like my lights in the living room aren't smart, but they're on a smart switch. And the smart switch can turn on and off and dim, and I can do stuff with it and use a remote, and that's great. But it's just a light switch. Everybody knows how to use a light switch, and that is
exactly super
important.
Because then and it's interesting. I used to, write for iMore, and basically all the things you're saying are the things that over time I had come to realize and understand, and then start to recommend to people, which is that you do need to provide people with the buttons and the methods that they're used to if you want to introduce smart stuff into the home without upsetting other people. And on top of that, I am a huge fan of and a longtime user of the Lutron Caseta line as well.
Yeah.
When I lived in Missouri, the 3-bedroom house that I rented was a third of the price that this place that I'm staying in now is. And so I had this whole house and I, home kitified the whole place and got it all set up. And yeah, Lutron Caseta was what I used in every room. And everyone who came in could just hit the button to turn on the light or hit the button to turn it off. And you didn't run the risk of then having a Philips Hue bulb or something that then lost power. And
right.
So then it wouldn't work with this, all that kind of stuff. When those things work so well, and there's no kind of secondary thought about it, that is when you get to be happy as a person who likes to automate and smart homeify, and they get to be happy as people who don't want to mm-hmm. automate and smart homeify. In most cases, they don't anyway.
Yeah, you get best of both worlds, and it's not required. One of my purchases that I'm really happy with is something that Dan wrote about back in 21, which is the Lutron Aurora.
Lutron Aurora.
And it is a smart switch that, this is the premise, is so you've got a light switch and the light switch controls lights in that room, and you want to put smartify it. So you can put smart bulbs, you can put like Hue bulbs or whatever up in the light, but the switch you now just have to keep on. And if somebody turns it off, it's just off forever. It can't be smartly turned back on because you're cutting power to the smart bulbs. So mm-hmm. what the Lutron Aurora does is it's a two-piece thing, and it goes on your physical light switch.
Top of it?
It doesn't work with rockers. It works with a flip switch, which is what we have in this house. And it goes on top of it and locks it in the on position. That's one piece
of
it. And then the second piece of it is a knob that goes on. And once you do this, that thing is permanently on the switch behind, and you've turned it into a knob dimmer, where if you push it, it goes on and off. And if you turn it, it gets brighter or dimmer.
And came up with that,
oh, man.
Just wow.
It's so good. And it's only in one room in my house right now, because it's the one that's most appropriate for it. My daughter's bedroom, former bedroom, guest room. But it's like I had these Hue bulbs and I liked them there, but it was really confusing having that light switch, and I didn't want to like bring in an electrician or do it myself. I definitely didn't want to do that in order to like lock it out. And then you still got like a light switch thing on the wall with nothing on it, which is also kind of dumb. So then I saw this thing and Dan wrote about it, and like, it's great because it doesn't rewire anything, and
that's
it solves the other
so
problem
smart.
Of locking people out from turning off your smart bulbs so that they don't work.
Wow.
Which is what would always happen out here. When I used to have smart bulbs out here, and my wife would come in, and then when she was leaving, she'd flip the switch to turn off the lights,
yeah.
And then those lights are then now off and can't be controlled or automated or anything, right? So this is the solution, is you lock it into on and then put this little switch on the top. Super clever, right? And sort of like not quite the same spirit as the Lutron Caseta stuff, but close, in that in the end, what you really want is a light switch.
Exactly. And I think in this way, then, it is, because I always think of renters, and this is a better option for renters,
right?
Who want to have that smart home stuff, because then I personally will, you know, I know what to do to go and turn off the power and the breakers and go and make the changes. And then before I move out, I put everything back how it was. So then it's not a problem with the lease. But for a lot of renters, there's that fear and there's the, you know, concern that if it is not exactly how it's supposed to be, then, you know, that it plays into it as well. So especially for, so if you're staying a place that's not permanent, this is so nice. And there have been a few times in the past where, you know, I unwired everything except for, you know, there was like, I needed to go and I forgot to do the one room or whatever. And so I ended up leaving a smart switch behind. Huh. And then later on, you know, down the line, you're going, oh man, I wish I would have just done that before I had left. So yeah, I love this idea that it keeps everything the way that it is, but just sort of augments it with smarts,
right?
Which is kind of what, a lot of the smart locks do, where the internal mechanism for the deadbolt stays the same. It's just the outside of the mechanism that changes.
Right.
As long as you have a door that supports that.
Right. Yeah. Which is the trick. On Clockwise this week, I talked about how my smart lock is okay, but I wish it were better. But the physical part of it is a challenge too, right? Because you have to have a little motor in there that makes the lock go in and out. And I think my door is not quite. It's not quite as steady as I'd like it to be, where if I don't close it all exactly right,
yeah,
sometimes it's the lock kind of like jams because it can't quite do it. Whereas like enough human force for me to turn it, I can force it and it works. The little motor kind of pushes and goes, I can't do it. And then it goes beep, 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 beep. I'm like, all right.
Oh, well, wow. At least it makes a loud noise.
Yeah,
so you're,
it does.
Aware.
So you, that's know that good. You're, and you get an alert and it's like, I didn't lock the door. I'm like, yeah, yeah, you didn't. But not ideal. So, well, I appreciate you talking about smart things with me.
I appreciate you having me on to talk about smart things.
Thank you. And thanks to everybody out there for listening. A little early, but this is when I could get Micah on. Look, I'm trying to find people every week. It's a challenge. How many people do I know?
It's not fun. It's not fun trying to find all these people.
Every week. That's why I stopped doing Clockwise. You got to book two people every week. Ah! All right. Who will it be next week? Everybody out there is agitating for Moltz. I can't speak for Moltz, but who knows? Maybe it'll be Moltz sometime. John Moltz. He's fun. But Micah was fun. Thank you, Micah. Thank you for being here. And even though you're not Dan, thank you.
You're so welcome, Jason.
Bye, Micah.
Bye-bye.